Welcome to The Thinking Tree, a podcast to help believers renew their minds and reform their hearts. I'm Adam Sanchez.
And I'm Jeff Noh.
And today we are talking about navigating conflicts at work and at school. All right, we're back on another episode of The Thinking Tree, joined by my lovely wife as well. I'm not gonna mess this one up.
She is officially here.
Is officially here.
I see her.
It's fantastic. And I don't even know if I welcomed you back at the other one several episodes ago because you were conspicuously absent.
Did anybody care?
From the first few. Kenny was a lovely stand-in.
Yeah.
He was a lovely stand-in.
But did he use the word ontological?
Or axiological? No offense, man. Kenny. You know, Kenny's over here listening from the behind. He's like, nope, no, I didn't. And I'm okay with that. All right, well, today we're taking on another in our series of navigating conflicts, and we're focusing on work and school. So here's the question. How can Christians pursue biblical peace with the varied authorities at work and school? So here's why this is an issue. When you're at work or you're at school, and this doesn't matter where you are, even if it's a Christian institution, the nature of it being an institution poses some unique challenges. The nature of the authorities. So when you think about a workplace, even a Christian workplace, they're going to have an HR department. They're going to have structures and policies that you have to work with and within in terms of navigating the differences that people have. And not everyone's going to have the same biblical view, even if they're all professing believers. And the same thing can happen at a school institution as well. And then that's for the professing Christian ones. What about the unbelieving institutions that you may work at or go to school? And now their whole process of solving problems is entirely different.
Yep.
It can get very dicey. And then when you add to that differing authorities, because now you have to listen to your boss, even if they're an unbeliever, you have to listen to your teacher, even if they're an unbeliever, and if they're angry at you unrighteously, even at times, we still need to navigate that in a way that pleases God. And even though it can feel pointless sometimes, it may feel like you're a salmon swimming upstream, but you know what's funny about that example? Salmon actually do swim upstream.
They do, and then they die.
They do. And it's hard, right? It's hard because they get to the end and they're done, but they do.
Are we doing an animal show?
I'm just saying, you know, we make it sound like it's impossible, but like even the analogy we use shows that it's possible.
And the bears eat them.
And you know, you get eaten by bears if you watch Alaskan.
I'm on the wrong show.
You watch the Alaskan camera. They catch those things right out of the water. It's
amazing.
Crazy. It's amazing. Okay, anyways. When we're talking about these things, there are so many different scenarios for conflict at work and at school. And so we just want to go through several of them that will give you kind of a frame of reference and a scope for the types of things that we're dealing with. So, and a very common one and obvious one, you have conflict with a boss, you have a superior, somebody who's over you, they're an authority over you, you report to them on a regular basis. And so you might feel powerless to even be able to bring up something. You know, we talk about the four G's, maybe that third one of either gently restoring or getting together. Maybe that's the one where you're like, I don't know how I can do that with them. They're my boss. They're my superior. But I think the same principles we apply. You start with yourself.
Right.
If you acknowledge your own stuff and the log out of your own eye, you probably have a really good venue.
And in case you haven't noticed, life is about submitting to all kinds of authorities. So it's life. We actually just recently in Heartwood, we talked about how husbands, you need to submit to your boss at work. You need to submit to your elders in the church. You need to submit to Christ first and foremost. So if you're not submitting well, you can't look at your wife and say, why aren't you submitting?
Yep.
So we lead in submission even. So it's a very interesting dynamic, and a lot of guys don't think about that. But anyway, with bosses, you need, you know, and Ephesians 6 speaks to this, right? Yeah. With the slave master dynamic, but bridging the gap modern day.
Right.
Yeah, you're to submit to your bosses, and not just as men pleasers. Yeah. Not just doing it for the sake of, I'm doing fine, but actually serving them well. And Christians should be the best of employees.
They should.
They should be. Because we're specifically commanded to be this type of employee, but that's not always the case. And sometimes we justify being less than good employees because my boss isn't a believer or they're not doing things the way. Everybody thinks they can do a better job than their boss.
Yeah.
Christians shouldn't be known for that. You can hold that opinion, but
yeah, if you think it's true,
yeah,
nobody should know that you think that.
Right. If you're walking around the office and you're the lead gossip around the office, undermining the boss's authority,
it's not good.
What a terrible testimony.
Exactly. And that's where I was headed. Like, yeah. I mean, again, we talked about it in the last episode. We're ambassadors for Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you want to have a platform to share the gospel at all in your workplace, and you're that lead drama guy.
Not good. Not good.
Not good.
So you have bosses, but then you have the opposite. Mm. Subordinates, right? People that report to you.
Same passage speaks to it.
Yeah. Right? What?
It's, you just roll reverse, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, we're to treat our employees as brothers in Christ, as if they were either brothers in Christ if they're actual believers, but then using our grace and our love, even in the way we have to be a boss over them, in order to draw them to the truth of the gospel.
Yeah.
Yeah, treat them well.
And you're going even back to roles too. I mean, you brought it back to submission, but you know, roles is part of that.
Yeah.
So like even in a marriage, there's roles.
Yeah.
And then in these relationships, there's roles.
Yeah. Right.
And you mentioned Ephesians 6. Well, guess it comes after Ephesians 5.
Yeah.
We're talking about roles, husband and wife. Like, it's all in context, right? Like the whole thing.
It's defined for us.
Yeah.
Are we willing?
And it's very hard.
Yeah.
It's very hard. We have the mirror of that at school. So you can imagine at school, you have teachers or professors, depending on, you know, what kind of institution you're at. And so they're going to be an authority, or other kinds of deans, or other kinds of, you know, dorm leaders, whatever it is. So that's any kind of school you're at, you know, from grade school to high school to university and beyond. And then you have subordinates there too, potentially. Like you could be the teacher. You know, you're the teacher and you got a class and
been there.
Yeah. And it's hard. Yeah. I mean, you've had it at multiple levels too. Yeah, like, you know, a coach, right? And dynamic at schools and you deal with that. And then you have some nuances too, where you have at work, like your peers, you have your coworkers that are maybe in the same position, the same boat that you're in. And then at school, the same thing as well. You can have peers at school who are in the same boat, and you can have conflict with all these types of people, whether they're an authority over you or you're an authority over them, or you guys aren't really an authority over each other, but the status of relationship is not the same as family.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not the same as marriage. It's not what we're going to talk about in the church next episode, but it's in the context of the workplace or school, which are two very common places that we find ourselves.
Yeah.
But do the principles, I guess here would be the question, do the principles that we've been talking about the whole time, do they change simply because the institution has maybe a different set of guidelines for dealing with conflict?
I mean, no, but people act like they do. They act like it's a totally separate, right? We're talking about how men think things are like waffles and different compartmentalizes. I think men
like waffles.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. Men, I like waffles.
And syrup.
I think men and women can separate work. Like it's separate. Like it's not part of your testimony. Like you're not still called to 1 Corinthians 10:31, that whatever you do, you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. And because they have their own set of rules, HR, et cetera, we need more books on how to be a believer in the workplace. Somebody write one of those.
Yeah. No, there is a struggle. And I see this in Christian institutions as well, whether it's a workplace or a school, where it is that bifurcation, that separation of church and state, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, at church and with my family, I'm going to be this way. But when I get to the workplace,
just collecting a paycheck.
It's a different set of rules. Yeah, I'm going to appeal to HR and it's not that HR is evil and wicked inherently. Or, you know, there are some that are better than others, I'm sure. You know, watch other, you know, certain funny movies.
They're the downfall of Western civilization. Stop it.
Yeah.
Toby. Sorry.
Oh, now we're going to be really derailed on this one. Oh, man. You know, but all that to say, HR in and of itself is not the devil. However, some of the principles that HR business as a business can promote is not biblical. And so it's very worldly wisdom. We talked earlier, you mentioned about seeking personal gain and, you know, really your preference winning out. And that is largely what most HR institutions pursue. So there's a great challenge. If an HR institution is in a Christian environment, that is a dicey challenge for them because they have to navigate this business world and hold to some of the standards that the business world has while also trying to figure out, now what do I do as a believer? So I think they have a tremendously difficult job. For us, though, who are not in HR, our job is still to relate as believers with other believers wherever we are, and to relate as to relate with people even when we're in conflict as Christ followers, even if they're not.
Yeah.
So even if another person isn't a Christ follower, that doesn't mean that we act as not a Christ follower with them.
Right.
We still need to engage based on, you talked about this earlier, Jeff, our identity.
Mm-hmm.
We need to engage based out of who we are, right, not just who we want the other person to be or wish that they were, you know, in the midst of the conflict. So whether they're a boss or whether you're their boss or that's a peer, all the same principles we've been talking about are still applicable in all those relationships.
Yeah. I'm going to say something, and you guys may feel free to take issue with it, but we all have enough, we have a finite amount of energy and resources to deal with emotional stuff in our lives. I'm going to count, if somebody comes, let's say they work in an unbelieving, you know, workplace, and they're like, I've got conflict with this person and this person and this person, and I'm trying to apply all these principles. I'm literally going to probably say to them, look, can you just live at peace with these folks? and not, because you're expending so much energy and all mm-hmm. these little fights that you have at mm-hmm. in the workplace. Do you have anything left for your brothers and sisters in the church,
yeah.
in your family? Or are you getting pulled into these things that you don't need to get pulled into?
Mm-hmm.
Again, yes, your testimony's on the line. So maybe not take up every single fight. Maybe let things brush off your shoulders in the workplace so that you're not investing so much energy there that you don't have it for the people that are closer to you that you really need to invest in. Is that crazy?
No, I don't think so. I think that I don't know, the dynamics, I would say, especially at work are difficult. The two G's in the middle, right? Getting the log out and confronting others. Those things I think are difficult because people are afraid of losing their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to bother with the fourth G because they might not work at this job forever. And jobs are just what you do. So who cares about the first G? So I think there's a lot of philosophy that we're like, I'm just here to get a paycheck. I'm never going to admit that I'm wrong because then I might get fired. Right. I'm never going to tell someone else that they did something wrong because I might get fired. And so I think that just shows where your allegiance is. There's a fear there. You're obviously being driven by something else. It's not your ambition to please Christ anymore. It is mm-hmm. your ambition to keep the job or whatever that is. Or if it's at school too, to just get a good grade on the class and just play the game just to get through it.
Yeah.
And there's a difficulty there, obviously, with believers and unbelievers and probably a mix of both there. But I think that it's important that we say we're not to change. We follow Christ regardless of where we are, and we follow Christ regardless of who we interact with.
Right.
And we are humble and admit our fault regardless of the consequences there. And if it's truth that needs to be stood on, we stand.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. But there's also wisdom in just saying, you know what, the two people in the cubicle next to me are getting into presidential politics,
and I'm gonna
jump in there and set them straight and blah blah.
That's stupid.
You know what? Just do your job well for the sake of pleasing your Lord first of all, but also mm-hmm. you're serving your boss. You're doing what you're called to do in Scripture, and keep your head down. Work hard.
Yeah.
And then look for opportunities, obviously, to be friendly and kind and all those things, but just don't
make everything a fight.
Don't get in.
I think one of the principles you're hitting on here, which we haven't really discussed in this whole context of navigating conflicts, but it's the principle of overlooking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The principle of not taking everything so seriously, not making a mountain out of a molehill is what we talk about. And that principle is very, very helpful. If it's not a clear sin issue, or it's not something you need to deal with or need to fix,
address. It could be more efficient if you were in charge, but you're not.
It's not your business.
That's not your job.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of wisdom to practicing that overlooking principle.
Mm-hmm.
And this is probably one of the easiest places to begin with it.
I agree.
It's mm-hmm. going to be harder in those closer contexts of marriage, even some family relationships, maybe some close friendships. But when it's less personal, you get to the less personal workplace or less personal school dynamic, it probably is an easier place to begin practicing that overlooking principle and not taking everything so seriously.
Right.
And jumping to DEFCON 5 to deal with it, the 4 G's and all that.
Right.
I would say one thing too, when we're thinking about workplace and school, very particularly, just an observation from my end on walking with people for many years in these dynamics. I think there's a big at least I would say there's a big concern for most people in those institutions regarding fear of man, regarding performance, regarding really wanting that approval of others and seeking kind of that praise. You know, whether it's that kid who really wants to perform well in their classes, get the 4.0 GPA, be the star athlete, all those things. None of that in itself is bad to want to be excellent at those things. Mm. But when we chase the praise rather than just being really good and the skill, yeah. you know, the training and the hard work, but we're chasing the people approval,
yep.
that's going to be messy. You can imagine the same place, same deal at the workplace. Maybe it is an underlying desire for more income and it's not just the people praise, but you want the people praise because you know that comes with potential advancement and other things. You know, it can be multifaceted there. But even still, it's really trying to be a man pleaser rather than a God pleaser. And then it's fearing their disapproval. Mm. And so it's living out of that fear, living out of the fear of punishment, the fear of getting in trouble, you know, all those things. I would just caution the listener, when you're thinking about conflicts in work and school, be mindful of your own heart in that. Be mindful of your own heart. Is this something that you're really wanting their approval? You know, you mentioned like arguing about president stuff. Is it the wanting other people to see you as an expert, you know, on politics or, you know, somebody who's very aware of the most current event or the most recent debate or, you know, those kinds of things. And just guard yourself on where your heart is. What are you worshiping? What are you treasuring? Most of these things are probably not things that really need to be dealt with.
Exactly. Why are you doing that?
You know, most of them are probably things you can overlook, but you're learning the principle. And you know, those questions you ask, like, you know, what are the underlying things? Most of the time, that's really, it really is like a smoke alarm almost, you know, like something's going wrong here at work and everyone's the problem. Well, what's really going on? Well, home, you know, and the story continues, this is what's going on. And, you know, and then in my heart, you know, and so you just keep digging down. You're like, oh, you know, work is just easy because you're there all the time. You don't know them that well.
Right.
It's easy to cast the blame and, you know, just be really upset there. But what's really going on now draws all the way back to your own heart. What is your home life like? How are you engaging with the people you actually live with? And, you know, going from there.
Yep.
Yeah. I would say if you are having difficulty, conflict at work and or at school, first call Jeff. Just kidding. He'll tell you to stop being an idiot. No, again, these are going to be nuanced, kind of like the family. Like the best thing you can do is to ask for wisdom. Reach out and ask wisdom within the body of Christ on that. Another resource side, what's on the side that I would recommend, Jay Adams wrote this great little book called How to Overcome Evil.
Yeah.
And it's an exposition on Romans 12.
Mm-hmm.
So good, so practical. Evil is extreme, so it's like the biggest, so it applies to everything less than evil then too also. But yeah, I never really understood the turn the other cheek until I read that book. And just very powerful how to be a testimony and to admit fault well and to move towards people who are contrary to you, even in a secular work environment. Great application for that. Well, secular or Christian, either one is fine.
But that's great.
Really good one.
You know, because for most of us, that's, if we work in an unbelieving workplace, that's probably the most fruitful harvest field that we're going to be in.
Your FaceTime with them matters. Is incredible. Yeah, you're there matters. So many hours.
Yeah. So every little decision you make as you sit in that cubicle, what conversations to take, what not to take, do I get offended? Do I go to HR? All those things really matter. So yeah, I think it's great. Get some counsel. That sounds like a good book recommendation that would really help.
Really good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It I mean, it and largely hinges on that one verse in verse 18, Romans chapter 12, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men.
Yeah.
And there's not a qualification there that says be at peace with other believers who agree with you.
Right. I mean, what?
It doesn't say that. It doesn't say be at peace with other believers who are in your own church. It says be at peace with all men. And we, you know, we love when all means all in God's word.
Right.
So being at peace, you're going back to your encouragement of, hey, can we just let it go? Are there things you can overlook? Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a lot that we can overlook in pursuing peace because not everything needs to be dealt with in the same way.
Yeah.
And when you don't live with somebody and you're not engaging with them in the same way every single day, and they're a workplace proximity associate, as Ron Swanson, I think, said, then let's act appropriately for the nature of the relationship.
Yes, that's good. You know? That's well put.
And that's, I think, it's a very helpful principle that you don't expect more of them than you ought to.
And does the same thing go with your schoolmates, your classmates that you see twice a week?
Same thing.
Same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah.
You know, they're not your family that you're, you know, going to see it every holiday for the next however many years God gives you. I mean, for most of the relationships, they're here today and they're gone tomorrow.
Right.
That's very bleak. I'm sorry, but you know, those people that you go to school with, you're not engaging with all the time.
Right.
You can appreciate them while you have them, but they're not going to be there longstanding.
Yeah, and have spiritual eyes on. If the Lord were to connect you in some way with somebody in that class where you build a relationship and you see a need or there's always be ready for open doors.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think that's a good posture to have. I have finite amount of energy and resources and I've got all these circles of people to engage with. And so I don't want to spend it all.
Yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head on that likely if somebody is experiencing a lot of conflict at work or school, the issue is not all the other people.
Right.
What is the common denominator?
Likely.
Oh my goodness. It might be me.
You know, you joke about, you know, when people want to move away, and we don't blast them when they want to move away, but just remember, wherever you go,
That's where you are.
And you can't forget that, right?
Right.
So the same thing, if you're running into all these conflicts and you're like, it's everywhere. It's at home. It's at work. It's at church. Well, you know, there's a common theme here.
We've quoted The Office and Parks and Rec. So I'm going to quote Taylor Swift. Oh. It's me. Hi. I'm the problem. It's me.
Is that a song?
That is a song.
Oh, that's an actual song.
That is an actual song. There you
go. Don't get me started on Taylor Swift.
I won't. I just was going to drop a line and then leave.
When you wrap this episode up.
No, before we wrap up, can I just say?
Go ahead.
Uh-oh.
So life is swimming upstream.
Like a salmon.
You might get eaten by a bear.
Yeah.
And if you get to the top, you die.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can quote Taylor Swift.
Let's pray.
I think we solved all the world's
problems.
It's
really late now. We need to.
All right. Well, friends, we do pray that this conversation, aside from the jokes about salmon and Taylor Swift, helps you to renew your minds and reform your hearts. Lord willing, we'll see you next time on The Thinking Tree.